The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, should the school day be longer than it is? If you had increased teaching, more physical activity, creative activity, how would it impact on the child? Would it be beneficial for them? How would it impact on the lives of their parents? How would it even deal with things like traffic jams in the mornings and the evening? We have a range of guests with us, a lot of educational experts. We're going to start with Carl Dieter from Irish Mortgage Brokers, because you put this in my mind before Christmas.
Least educated of them all.
You were giving out about the Irish school day, particularly how it impacts on traffic jams in the morning, but also how it's not necessarily conducive to the best interests of the child or the parent. Explain why.
Okay, well, what I was advocating for at the time and what we're going to talk about today is the idea that you could change the school year to go almost year-round with a certain time where kids can take vacation, which suits their parents, vacation time, and basically to make the day longer, but to teach a bit slower and give children slower classes where they might be taking in less but have a lot more physical activity, and have other classes that will teach them things like different elements of culture that they might not be seeing at the moment, that would, you know, look at things like the arts. A lot of stuff that is after school activity could actually be done in school. And because teachers are paid year round, you know, they would be the ones to carry the torch on this.
Are you talking primary and secondary here?
I'm really talking about primary, mainly because the evidence shows that greater teaching hours really has massive benefits at preschool and primary level. And also because I think as children get older that they are able to responsibly take care of themselves a bit better. I think it certainly at primary level, you've also got these issues where you have different pickup times and drop-offs. So I have three children. One of them next year will have a pickup time at 12. The next one is 1:40. The one after that is 2:40. So
Isn't that the sort of staggered times which helps the traffic flow?
It doesn't really help the traffic flow, because traffic is mainly an issue for people going to work at the same time as people are dropping their kids off to school, because the start time isn't staggered. Everyone is in or around 9 o'clock, at least in the school area I'm in. What I would be talking about by making it longer would give children a lot more time to be just running around and maybe have some self-directed learning. And in particular, because we have an obesity crisis in children. And obesity is actually about as bad as smoking. And I would never give my kids a cigarette.
Okay. So we've a number of guests. It's Jen Hogan as well, author of The Real Mum's Guide to Surviving Parenthood. Mother of 7 children, aged between 3 and 17.
Yeah.
So not all of them yet started school. One in preschool, is
one there? In preschool, yeah. And the other 6 are in school. So 2 in secondary school, 4 in primary and 1 in preschool, which means I have 5 different pickups.
Hang on, those secondary school students of yours should
well,
be finding
no, fair
their
enough.
Own way
no,
home
no,
instead of having
okay,
to be
5
up.
Different finishing times. That's probably more accurate, yeah. Whereas the secondary school guys do find their own way home.
And what do you think of Carl's idea that perhaps we should have a longer school year instead of these 3-month holidays in secondary school, 2 months in primary school, and also maybe a longer school day where things are spread out more over the day rather than compressed?
I like the idea of the longer school year, all right. I think that's a good idea, but I'm not sure that I'm that keen on the idea of a longer school day. Because I suppose, it was funny, I put it out to a few parents this morning. I was chatting about it in a closed group that I run. And the response was kind of overwhelmingly against it, including working parents. They just didn't like the idea of their kids spending even longer at school. And they didn't like the idea of choice being taken away from them, even if it was, as Carl's suggesting, additional activities and learning a different way. They liked the idea that they could do things themselves. I suppose what I wouldn't like either, and again, this was brought up by other people that I was speaking to, is the whole idea of removing your child or having your child having less time with their family. It's kind of a case that they're in this kind of institution. And I know school is not nice, maybe, or not a way that it might like to be seen as an institution. But it is, I suppose, it's the learning institution, and it has the has our kids in a school, in a place of learning where they're kind of expected to conform a little bit, where if the activities are chosen by the parents or by the children, it gives that kind of opportunity to encourage individuality.
Because there'll be
things.
Less diversity in sort of after-school activities if they're done in the school
otherwise.
Location.
And it also takes kids, I suppose, maybe for a child who's not finding school so easy and finding maybe it difficult to socialise, lets them do their activities with a different group of children away, where they feel kind of that they're away from kind of constant eyes looking at him or her failing at something or struggling with something as the child might perceive themselves. So I don't think for me, I don't think the idea of a longer day appeals at all, really. What I'd love to see is homework for primary school children gone, to give us back the freedom for kids to be able to get out there in the evenings and get out there and play.
Longer school days don't need homework, would be my thoughts. Mm. And also, I don't know that like creche or childcare is anything short of an institution either. You see, one thing I would say is, having seven kids, I'm assuming that you cannot go out and take paid employment, that your job really is working with your kids.
I work as well.
Both parents, so like, it's astronomical childcare bills then in that case.
Well, no, because what I've done is, I suppose, over the course of my own career, is I have changed my working situation. I've gone part-time. I've worked mornings only at a certain stage, so that there were only two in childcare at a time. And at the moment, I work largely from home now, so that at least it means I don't have childcare costs. I'm there. I can
okay.
adapt my childcare.
All of you in the studio, put on your headphones, please. I want to bring in Dr. Sheila Garrity, who is lecturer in early childhood studies at the UNESCO Child and Family Research Centre in NUIG Galway. Sheila, thank you very much for joining us. Of course, this is an issue you came to with a view from the United States, wasn't it, when you moved to the country?
Actually, from Canada.
Canada, Matt. My apologies.
That's okay. Yeah, we were relocating to Ireland around 2000, 2001, and doing my due diligence, moving with five children, and I was needing to look to see how could I continue to be employed and what were the arrangements here. And at the time, there was just a dearth of any kind of after-school care provision. And coming from Ontario, where many schools, most schools and communities have a standalone after-school program, before and after school in many places, where it would begin at 7:30 in the morning for our breakfast clubs, and school would run to 3:30 in the day. And then from 3:30 to 6, children would move into a recreational program that would be, you know, staffed by early childhood educators, or maybe sometimes youth workers or sports people or artists. So you'd have a range of different kind of professionals and expertise. The children are moving into a fun space where, you know, it's focused on their interests and their activities. So I actually set up one of those services in Galway when we arrived. We came about springtime, and that September I set up a service. Now, I started off with my own four children attending and about five or six other children. But by the end of that first year, it was fully enrolled, and I ran that for about 12 years until my own children kind of aged out of the program.
Okay, but if Carl Dieter's idea was to be brought into place in schools, it strikes me that we would need a whole range of people who weren't necessarily just teachers to actually run this type of operation. You would also need schools with a far greater range of facilities than they probably have available at present.
Well, looking at, so I was just doing some research before today and looking back at Ontario to see what's happening there, and looking at as well in Denmark. They, in Denmark, all schools would offer an after-school type of program. So I think Carl's idea of continuing the school day, as Jenny was talking about, it takes away parents' choice. So some parents might want to pick up their children at 2:30 and they come home, or they go to relatives. But having a standalone type of program that parents can opt into, that's focused on the different interests and needs of the children, might be a way to offer that balance. And in fact, if we talk to children, so there's some good research coming out of UCC where they actually did consultations with young children around what do they want, you know, what do they want to do after school and what are their interests. And they talked about things like playing outdoors, being with their friends, having kind of time to chill out, time to socialize, but also to do activities of their choice, whether those are busy activities or the kind of chilling out spaces. But children also talked about enjoying that time with family. So family is very important still, you know, in their lives, and being with relations, with grandparents or with their own parents.
Lots of very interesting comments. Consensus in our house for primary school is a longer school day with no homework. Lots of people saying that the homework is a major bugbear with primary school. With secondary, the day is long enough. Leaving the house at 7:30 in the morning, home at 5 p.m, then all the homework on top of it. Another one says, oh, please, Matt, the government doesn't fund schools properly under the current system. Do you and your guests really think it would fund the extra activities? Pie in the sky nonsense. You know, I can understand why you're saying that. As a primary school teacher, I feel huge pressure to do more and more work as it is. If the days became longer or the year, I'd seriously consider leaving the profession. More on those lines. Here we go again. Teachers will solve all the problems. What about teachers and their mental health? Teaching is an exhausting job as it is. Another one, the school day should be shorter, Carl, not longer, to give kids more time to run around outside of school and to join sports clubs or whatever. There's no need for a student to be in school from 9 a.m. till 3 or 4 p.m. Just look at how the Nordic countries do it. And another one says, everyone knows the school year is designed to suit the teachers, not the children. It will never happen. Maura Layden, Education and Research Officer at the Association of Secondary Teachers of Ireland. Is that the case, that it's all designed for the teachers and not for the
Absolutely
students?
Absolutely not. I mean, if teachers were able to design the school year, they'd be delighted. The school year is what we inherit. But I think this debate...
Sorry, would you have a longer school year and would you have a longer school day?
Well, I think our school day is already quite long in both the OECD and the European context. I think what we need to be talking about is what is happening during the school day and what do society want schools to perform. But it seems to me that this debate is very much about not so much schools, but very much about how can society better support families. I mean, we have society has transformed in terms of women working, in terms of mobility of homes, of reconstituted families, etc. And, you know, families are really feeling the crunch, and they need, I think, schools have an absolutely vital role to play in providing the, a range of, shall we say, nurturing and caring functions. But I don't think that they're the only institution in society which has that role. I mean, it's quite obvious from the feedback coming in, and Jen, your own little research this morning, there isn't necessarily a consensus that schools are the places where parents want their kids to be all day long. What we need to be talking about is, where can our children be safe? Where can they be safe both before going to school? Or where can they be safe after school? And do we have a good enough, recreation and play and sports policy for our young people? So I think this is a debate much wider than actually the length of the school day, and very much about working families, and also about, I suppose, really the significant infrastructural deficits in the country in terms of commuting, hours getting to work, etc., etc.
Let's bring another guest in. Kevin Williams, we've spoken to many times in this programme about the Irish language, and we're not going to do that with you today, but you're a senior researcher at Dublin City University into education policy and the rest of it. What do you think of the ideas that Carl has floated about having a longer school day and doing more things within the school day, and presumably also having different people as well as teachers providing this sort of holistic setting for school children?
Well, it's a very pleasant idea in principle, but after all, in many primary schools, particularly in affluent areas, many of the parents take their children to multiple activities. So it's not as if there aren't activities going on after school.
If you can afford them.
If people can afford
the ballet classes or the karate or the swimming or the Gaelic football or whatever it is that they do.
Yeah, and I was always struck when I was a student, and that's going back nearly 4 decades now, by the model they followed in the former Soviet Union. In the former Soviet Union, they used to have a serious focus on the 3 hours in the morning. And in the afternoon...
3 hours being?
Literacy, maths and...
reading, writing and arithmetic, isn't that what you used to call it, right?
But in the afternoon then, the young people were allowed and encouraged to pursue activities in which they found satisfaction and fulfilment. And that's one of the reasons why that the former Soviet Union enjoyed such success in so many sports, because, and not just in sports but in other activities, because children were encouraged to pursue the activities which they found satisfying and enriching, and they weren't blocked into school for the whole day. Having said that as well, there's another thing that needs to be said. Schools are a more kind of nuanced and complex place than sometimes people realise, because there are gradual changes occurring in school with regard, for example, to timetabling. One of the problems, I think, with schools nowadays is that lessons are too short. They're normally 35 to 40 minutes.
This is secondary school now.
Secondary school, yeah. 30 minutes in primary school, 35 to usually 40 at second level. And that means that the school day can be very bitty, because there's a lot of movement between changing classes. And what some schools are doing now to address this is having hour-long classes. And it appears that this is proving to be very successful.
Really? How do you manage to keep the concentration going for hour-long classes? I mean, for example, there's a reason why TED Talks, for example, are 18 minutes in duration. It's having a punchier delivery, which keeps the concentration, rather than having a boring monologue which goes on for ages.
Well, it doesn't have to be a boring monologue. That's the kind of presumption. People say, oh, if it's an hour, it's a boring monologue. And actually, deliveries, didactic deliveries can be very exciting and interesting, as they often are in TED Talks. But that's why teachers have to have shown themselves to be very resourceful at designing activities during the 60-minute lessons, which engaged the pupils and allowed them to pursue the subjects in more detail and understand them better and make the whole day less bitty.
Okay, what do you think of that, John?
Yeah, I mean, no, I suppose I really do think that, I mean, when you look at the different after-school activities, and certainly I'd see around where I am, I mean, children do all sorts of different activities, even my own children do, and it is a wonderful opportunity when you get to choose it yourself to do the things that your children might be interested in that the school can't necessarily provide for. And if they were to do these things within the confines of school, a school will only be able to offer a certain number of options if they can even get around that. So I would think that... you know, I think it's best kind of left as it is. In terms of the longer lessons that you were chatting about there, I suppose that having secondary and primary school children, yeah, I suppose the double classes, certainly they're dreaded in lots of regards. You know, lots of kids go, oh my God, double science, double chemistry. But I mean, it does give the opportunity to look at subjects further. I still haven't kind of heard anything that's made me think the longer day is the right way to go.
If kids had better results, would it convince you?
Like, no, because
is there anything that would convince you?
Anything that would convince
What's the metric? Because if you say nothing will convince me, then you're not actually following logic. You have to say there's that would allow me to believe it, or else it's like an atheistic approach. You can be agnostic and then you can debate about God. But if your belief is, look, there's no nothing, then, you know, the conversation ends straight away in terms of finding some middle ground. Is there any result?
A middle ground would be maybe a slightly longer day that might
I'm saying results, though. Result-wise.
No, results-wise wouldn't. All I want is my children to reach their potential, whatever that is. And in every aspect of life, I think, you know, academics is only one very small part of school, even though certain schools might argue otherwise. I wouldn't think, I'm not a parent who thinks, oh, all my kids must achieve excellent academic results. And if they were to spend
longer
there.
But you'd like them to be as good as they could be.
As good as they can be while being as happy as they can be.
Well, there's a good study done by the Journal of Inquiry and Action in Education. And it looked at basically year-round schools. And what it showed is that year-round schools are effective in particular at pre-secondary levels. And they say that with all the studies done, that there's about 100 years worth of study of this area that supports the idea that year-round schools for young children is actually beneficial in terms of academic results. Okay, so if you're assuming that education is an important element of it, then the evidence is there. What I'd be saying, though, is that you could also have things like the Sudbury School, where a child can choose self-directed education in part of the day, which is exactly what Kevin had just spoken about. And last of all, is that the school year was designed when women were effectively removed from the workforce when they had children. Nowadays, what you've got is a situation where women are effectively removed from the workforce once again because of cost factors that go into having children. I see this in my own home. Anyone who goes to a school pickup, look at the ratio of men to women picking up their children, and it tells you straight away who's paying the price for it. And then it shows up in things like gender pay gaps and many other things. There's actually a pay gap and a cost of having children. And what I'm saying is that it could be far more of a level playing field.
Yeah, but here, a listener says, parents like Carl are operating under the misapprehension that school is there to provide childcare and should accommodate whatever whim takes his fancy, individual families to dictate holiday times. Please, really.
Spoken like a true school teacher. Look.
I don't think that's entirely fair, Carl. What I really do think is, as Kevin has said, what schools are already doing is already quite extensive. You know, from breakfast clubs to early morning study to post-school games, sports, drama, you name it. I think what we're really talking about here is how we can ensure that our young people, for those who take part in school post-school activities and for those who don't, how to make sure there's enough out there for them, which is not only affordable, but it's also safe and that it's socially supported.
There's no
point in sending children off to play in a playground down in a park where they're not going to be safe. Parents don't want that. We need to invest in all sorts of activities which support families and allow parents to work.
Well, a listener here says, as a primary school teacher, the argument that if children would be outside playing if they had no homework is nonsense. On any occasion that I give my class a night off from homework, I ask them the next day what they did instead of homework. Not one student answers that they played outside. Not one spends time with family. They almost exclusively play computer games. Those who don't play games watch TV. Parents resent spending 20 to 30 minutes supervising homework. Parents seem to like anything which helps them avoid spending time with their own children, the children they choose to have. Sheila Garrity, what do you say to that?
Well, I'd like to just come back to some of the points that Carl is making and more as well. And there is evidence that a lack of after-school supports for families is impacting primarily on women's employment. So interestingly, the Growing Up in Ireland study has found that more women are employed when their children are 9 months old than when they're 9 years old. So that gap in terms of after-school provision is impacting women. So all the things that Carl was talking about in terms of lifetime employment and career prospects. And just touching on Maura's points about supporting families, you know, our society is changing, as she said, and families are changing how they organize their lives and their children's lives, but the state has been really slow to respond. And so out in the community, there's a hodgepodge of services, from creches trying to fill the gaps, to grandparents stepping up, to parents kind of running between after-school activities and maybe a childminder and maybe a granny. And the state really needs to say, what is our role here in supporting families to reconcile their work, their parenting, and all those things that are going on in children's lives. You know, we know just recently, just at the end of 2018, early years regulations have been extended to include the registration of school-age services. But what we're talking about is very minimal types of aspects of that around, well, important things like bedding and insurance and having particular policies, but nothing around the staffing levels, you know, around the staffing qualifications. Okay. So who are these people who we're going to entrust our young children to, and how are we going to support them? Okay. And just like in the earlier sector, you know, we have a lot of dedicated professionals giving time and working in the sector, and pay and conditions and qualifications can be quite low.
Okay, I just want to take one more comment. Parents like Carl want schools to parent their children as well as educate them, foisting the responsibility that has been shirked by parents onto school to solve issues like the obesity crisis is the easy option for parents who want an easy life with no effort parenting. Schools are expected to sort out all of society's issues. As the educationist Larry Cuban said, when society gets an itch, schools get scratched. Aidan Leash says we've become obsessed with work. That's why people seem to hate teachers. This idea that we only work between 9 and 3 is rubbish, as is the idea that it's our role to solve all of society's problems. It's not our job to mind children because their parents are both working. It's not also our job to implement a programme to change children's lifestyle. Example, obesity problems and cyberbullying, etc. We are not parents, we are educators. Carl Dieter, just in your defence, you do a little bit of work on a voluntary basis at a Desh school.
Well, an after-school care programme in the inner city. And I tend to try and help the kids with their maths homework. But I'm always amazed when people say, we don't want a longer school year. You see, when teachers say, we don't want a longer school year, I have to say to them, the school year was designed in the 1850s. So what you want to do is hold on to a relic of the 1900s, and yet you want modern technology within that relical structure, which to me seems illogical. You should change with the times to be appropriate to the times. But what I remark about Desh schools is we say, you know, these children are at such risk that we have to feed them, that we have to, you know, spend extra funding for them, and then they go away on summer holiday and they don't die. And that is, to me, an amazing thing, because it makes me wonder, well, then how is it that they need all this stuff during the year, and then suddenly there's this magic 12 weeks where those needs just vanish? And that's why another thing I think is, if you look at the children who are at the bottom of the rung, who have all the hardest problems, they have a thing called summer fade. All students have it, where you go away from education for 12 weeks, you come back and you know less. But they have shown before that severely impacted students tend to come from low socioeconomic areas, and that the at-risk students can lose as much as 3 months of academic setback per grade, per level. And that's a good academic study showing
Kevin
that
Williams,
loss.
Okay, Kevin Williams, what do you make of that suggestion?
Well, I think there is merit on it, but like there'd be huge kind of trade union issues with regard to extending the school year. But I think the kind of mistaken view that a lot of people have is that schools are exclusively focused under 3 hours. That's completely not the case. And really that intense focus on academic achievement applies only to a handful of students in secondary schools. Secondary schools have a far broader range of activities, like leaving cert apply, the transition year, leaving cert vocational, courses and well-being.
I'm talking about primary schools. By the way.
I think we should draw a distinction between primary and secondary here, because I go to Maura Layden on this as well. A listener says, as a fifth-year student, the suggestion of having longer days is not only absurd but completely unattainable. Adults are finishing at 5 p.m. every day. They're completely off the clock, while students are often up to 10, 11, even 12 o'clock at night trying to get their homework done. There are plenty of issues with the schooling system, and it's the lack of funding where students suffer, not the length of the day.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're fixated really on the 3 months and the length of the school day. I really think we need to, as Kevin is saying, what's actually happening at school when the students
are
there.
There is a good point in the 3 months. If you are missing studies, you switch off and then you have to switch on. I mean, it's an argument a lot of people would also have, parents that have about transition year. That transition year actually switches an awful lot of children off before they get to fifth and sixth
year.
Well,
I think there's quite a diversity of views on that, and it's very much...
We won't get into that.
But the transition year is obviously a really important part of the educational experience of an awful lot of students. But to come back to the original question in terms of, you know, what are we expecting our schools to do? I think we need to be balanced in the way what we're expecting them to do. We also need to look at teachers are educators. That is their primary passion, their motivation, their training. It's not realistic to say that teachers must now become the after-school carers or the preschool or the preschool carers. I think what we are saying is that schools are publicly funded institutions. They have good facilities. They have not necessarily the best, but they have facilities. And I think if society really wants those facilities to become more widely available, we need to talk about making sure that schools are able to employ the additional personnel to do the pre and post school activities.
So it's not teachers, it's other people.
But teachers, I think their passion, their talent and their contribution to society is in the classroom where the teaching and learning goes on.
And let's face it, they're not going to do a lot more hours and work or surrender holidays without an awful lot more pay, are they?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, which worker in the country would be in a position to say, I work longer and harder for less money? I mean,
it's not less money. It'd just be to work year round because you're paid year round.
OK, but there are listeners pointing in saying that actually they're paid... It's averaged out. They're paid for the work they do, but it's spread out over the 52 weeks.
They get paid year-round. Their checks come in year-round, and they are well paid by international standards.
OK. Jed Hogan, I'm going to let you finish off this because you are a parent, right? Mm-hmm. And overall, are you happy with the way the system works for your 7 children at present, or would you like to see, based on what you've heard, significant change?
I mean, I'd like to see, I suppose, some of what they do in school overhauled, but I think lots of parents would like to see that, and I'd like to see better supports for certain children in place. I'd love to see a kindness module in there, you know, kind of help children kind of focus on the importance of empathy and being kind and learning really how to be a decent human being, basically, I suppose, when you grow up. Like these are the sort of skills where we spend so much time telling our children kind of to look for academic excellence and sporting excellence. And maybe if all children were celebrated equally and had the same opportunities, that'd be wonderful. But I suppose that's your ideal situation. I don't think the longer day is the way around, but I'm not against a longer school year. I would agree with Carl on that.
Just say one last thing.
Kevin.
I've been in the privileged position of being able to go into hundreds of schools throughout the country. And for the most part, they are happy places. Yeah. And I am humbled to see that there are such safe environments for young people. They're places of laughter and enrichment. And I say, well done to our schools.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much. We had Dr. Sheila Garrity on the phone line from NUIG. Carl Dieter, Jen Hogan, Kevin Williams, Maura Layden, thank you all very much for being with us on The Last Word.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.